The scripture that we're going to be studying today talks about life being a mist and a vapor and smoke, things that are hard to grab hold of, right? The point of it is that without the Lord Jesus, there isn't meaning in life. So that's, in a couple sentences, that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. And that's what we'll be studying as we go forward. So even the little rules, they're there for a reason. Maybe so your cell phone doesn't get covered in water. I don't know. Just take it from me. All right, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. You'll find it in the Red Pew Bible on page 658. If you're using the large print, it's page 1035. We'll be reading the whole chapter. There's probably a title on this section that says everything is meaningless. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams came from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is filled of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, there is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. With a heavy burden, God has laid, what a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that too, that this too is a chasing after the wind, for which much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God of the universe, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Lord, we pray a mighty move of the Holy Spirit upon us for this scripture, which is very mysterious. We pray that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive, which you desire to reveal. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Under the sun. Obviously, that comes from the scripture. As you may know, on Monday Night Football this week, the Buffalo Bills played the Cincinnati Bengals, and the game was stopped early in the first quarter and has been declared a no contest. Why? It has been the lead story in the sports world all week. A Buffalo Bills player made a tackle. He stood up afterwards. He wobbled, fell back down to the ground because he had suffered from cardiac arrest. According to the nation's Center for Disease and Control and Prevention, every year, about 805,000 people in the United States have a heart attack. About 1 in 5 heart attacks are what they call silent heart attacks. The damage is done, but the person is not aware of it. In this case, the whole world is aware of it. This heart attack has saturated sports talk radio and mainstream media too. Why? Well, first of all, it happened on the world stage because of television and internet coverage. Second, it is an unexpected event. There are many serious injuries in football because the dramatic physical contact and dramatic physical requirements to play. A concussion or a neck injury is surely regrettable, but not that unusual. Sometimes there are heart attacks at the high school level or less frequently at the college level, but normally by the time players reach professional ranks, it's extremely rare. These players are highly fit and have gone through many trials of affliction. Third, everyone on the scene had to face the possibility of his death because an ambulance was called out onto the field. And the news commentators, the commentators of the game, and myself too, have never seen that before, where the ambulance comes out onto the field. The medical professionals had to perform CPR right there on the field. Not only did those on the field have to face the possibility of a tragic fatality, underlying it all, we were confronted with our own mortality. There have been a lot of questions. Did people respond properly? What would be the impact on teammates and even on other players in the league? Might the game continue? Perish the thought. At least for a short time, perspectives were brought into proper alignment. There continue to be a lot of questions, questions about values, questions about life. Now, the good news is he's doing much better and he's talking to receiving family, talking to family, and even the team via Zoom or some other method. I could almost hear an undercurrent of King Solomon, the teacher, preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Then in the 14th verse, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now, yesterday, we had a celebration of life for Ralph Schaefer. That's why we have all the flowers. I shared with you last Sunday that he had gone to his heavenly reward. I didn't know Ralph well, but I did know some important things. He served his country as an engineer in the U.S. Army. He served his Lord here in this church, in the choir, and in other ways too. Certainly his family had questions. I have questions. I wonder why his last few years of life had to be in a memory unit. Many of you have been touched by a similar experience. Sometimes the answers to our questions cannot be answered in this place under the sun or under heaven. But we continue to look for meaning in this life. You may be more familiar with a different translation than the New International Version that uses the word meaningless. Most major English translations use the word vanity, right? Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We must first grasp this phrase if we're going to be able to get a handle on this scripture, because it is central to the meaning, and it's used 38 times in this book of Ecclesiastes. The Amplified Bible helps us see the intricacy of these words. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all that is done without God's guidance is vanity. Futile, meaningless, a wisp of smoke, a vapor that vanishes, merely chasing the wind. That's the Amplified Version. It is ironic to me that even defining this phrase seems somewhat futile. And I don't think that's an accident. It is deliberate. We want and hunger for meaning, and we have trouble digesting even the first bite. Now, some scholars argue against the word vanity because it naturally leads to the word vain. Here's the primary meaning with which you're likely familiar: having or showing an excessive high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. They see this, these scholars, that this is diverting from the secondary meaning, producing no result, useless, having no meaning or likelihood of fulfillment. I believe that there's a strong connection to the primary meaning of vain. We overestimate our abilities and our knowledge. That is why we used Isaiah 55 in our responsive reading today, to remind us that as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, that is how far above us is the God of all creation. You have heard the phrase that knowledge is power. And if we can know the meaning of light, it would give us a sense of control. The futility of this is what the teacher, preacher, searcher in the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to demonstrate. It is a vain attempt, and there is vanity, false pride in this pursuit. There is vanity in the desire to gain such control. In my personal testimony, this truth bears out. For the first 45 years of my life, that was my mindset. When I could figure out God, then I would believe. This was my pride in my own abilities and my own worth. It was vanity, and it kept me from the Lord. Now, of course, I see that it was simply foolishness, vanity of vanities. Isaiah 55 applies in another way, too. It contrasts in a significant way another common refrain of our teacher, under the sun, which he uses 29 times. Human beings are limited in our capacity to see and comprehend. We trust our eyes, and those eyes need light, the light of the sun. Under the sun is the boundary of comprehension that our teacher sets. Then in Ecclesiastes 1:5, he uses the sun in a different way. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The context here is the question, what does man gain from all his labor? Where is the progress? We live, we die. Each generation is displaced by the following one. When we are young, we are sure we will leave our mark on the world, but reality is a different story. Empires come and empires go. Fortunes are won and fortunes are lost. And even if we do accomplish something significant, what was the cost? How many generations before it fades away like a mist, a vapor, a wisp of smoke? How long has the sun been rising and setting? If you adhere to the North doctrine, you might say 10,000 years. If you adhere to evolution and the old Earth theory, you might say 4 billion years. Is either answer more comforting? I think not. Has the sun accomplished anything? In relation to the Earth, it is in the same place. Every day is the same, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and what has been gained. Around and around the earth goes, circling the sun, but what of it? Does it matter to anyone? Does it matter at all? For our special music today, John played Here Comes the Sun by George Harrison. If you look at the Bible study assignment I sent you from Right Now Media, you can listen to the Beatles play it on a YouTube video with the Grand Canyon and the sun and all its grandeur as background. Here's the story behind the song. It had been an especially long and cold winter in England. The Beatles were heavily involved in the business end of their music, celebrity and fame. There were a lot of meetings and lawyers and accountants and legal documents to sign. Additionally, Harrison was dealing with relationship and health issues. George Harrison got tired of it all and he decided to play hooky from his toy. He had not picked up a guitar in a couple of weeks, but he went and visited his friend Eric Clapton, and they were out in the backyard on a beautiful spring morning visiting. Harrison started playing one of Clapton's acoustic guitars. Eric Clapton remembered, "We sat down at the bottom of the garden looking out, and the sun was shining. It was a beautiful morning." He began to sing the opening lines, and I just watched this thing come to life. Though this song was written in 1969, it is still relevant and appealing today. Surprisingly, even the young folks like this upbeat and magical song. As of 2021, last year, well, I guess now it's last year in a couple of days, Here Comes the Sun was the most streamed Beatles song on Spotify. When you consider the renown and popularity of the Beatles, that's really significant. It is a highly acclaimed song by critics and fans alike. You could argue that it has become part of our culture. I was playing pickleball in Brigantine this week on a gray and overcast day. And after a while, the sun tried to poke its way through the clouds. And one of the women's almost automatically, it seems, started singing, "Here Comes the Sun." And I've done it myself on a few occasions in life. We need sunshine, and it certainly can buoy our spirit. It can brighten our day in more ways than one. It is very common in pagan religions to have a sun god. That's not too hard to understand. As the teacher has explained, and we see it every day for ourselves, you can rely on the sun. It rises and sets every single day. Without the sun, we would not have any crops. We would not have any warmth. We would not have any light. We would not have any life. Unfortunately, too many have displaced the Son of God with sun gods. While we know that the Ten Commandments start with a prohibition about not having any other gods before the God of all, there is a specific prohibition against sun worship in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. "And when you look up at the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven." In Matthew 17, in Revelation 1, and Revelation 10, the face of Jesus is compared to the shining sun. The sun is only used to give us an image of the brilliance of Jesus' face. You and I do not worship the sun, but rather the creator of the Son of God. You read Malachi, the fourth chapter. "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant, every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun, S-U-N of righteousness," which was in our first hymn that we sang today, "will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." The one described as the Son of righteousness can be no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is called the Lord of your righteousness in Jeremiah 23:6, and the coming of the Messiah is pictured as a sunrise in several passages. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Isaiah 60, verse 1, and in other places too. Aside from the Lord Jesus, there is no meaning in this life. All would be vanity without it. You and I are not limited by what is under the sun, S-U-N. Instead, we are empowered by the sun, S-O-N, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. We thank you that you understand what kind of creatures we are, and our longing and our desire to know truth, to know what it's all about, to be able to explain things. And we thank you for the guidance of your your word, and the guidance of God the Holy Spirit as we pursue a relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.